I'm Stuart McIntosh with the BBC News. Hello. The Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has applauded the killing of the Hamas leader Yahya Sinwar by Israeli troops on Wednesday. The death of the architect of the October the 7th attacks was confirmed after DNA and dental analysis. From Jerusalem, here's Wira Davis.
Sinwar had been a number one target for Israel ever since October the 7th last year because of his role in organising and directing those attacks in which 1,200 people were killed. And ever since that, he's had a target on his back. The way it apparently has been relayed on Israeli television was that soldiers in Rafah in southern Gaza saw suspicious activity in a house and decided to engage people in that house, in which three people, who they described as Hamas terrorists, were killed. And it was only subsequently that somebody noticed that one of the bodies seemed to resemble very strongly that of Yahya Sinwar, the leader of Hamas.
The Israeli army has released a video footage of what it says are Yahya Sinwar's last moments, shortly before he was shot dead in a house in southern Gaza on Wednesday. Filmed by a drone, it shows a badly wounded man in a ruined building, his face covered with a Palestinian scarf, hurling a piece of wood at the drone as it approaches him. A group representing families of Israeli hostages held by Hamas have welcomed Mr. Sinwar's death and said they hoped it would help secure the release of captives still in Gaza. President Biden said his death was a good day for Israel, for the US and for the world, but stressed it's also presented an opportunity to end the war and bring the hostages home. But our international editor Jeremy Bowen says not every family is as optimistic.
The hostage families and their supporters have been gathering in Tel Aviv and, of course, relieved and hopeful that this could lead to a breakthrough. But some of them, though, are cautious because a lot of them believe that Prime Minister Netanyahu has been an obstacle to a hostage deal because of his desire, as many Israelis believe, to prolong the war in Gaza for his own political reasons.
Senators in Kenya have voted to remove the deputy president, Rigathi Gachagua, from office over accusations of corruption, inciting ethnic violence and undermining the government. Anne Soy reports.
This is the first time in Kenya's history that a deputy president has been impeached. Mr. Rigathi Gachagua was scheduled to defend himself earlier, but his lawyer informed the House that he is admitted in hospital. The Senate rejected a proposal to adjourn the proceedings by 2 days, and the trial continued without him. The decision bars him from ever holding public office and denies him his exit benefits. Mr. Gachagua faced 11 charges, including corruption, undermining the president, and inciting ethnic divisions, all of which he denied.
This is the BBC News. Experts appointed by the UN Human Rights Council have accused the two sides in Sudan's civil war of using starvation tactics against 25 million civilians, or about half the country's entire population. They demanded that both the Rapid Support Forces and the Sudanese Armed Forces immediately stop obstructing the delivery of aid. The government of Ivory Coast has announced the dissolution of all student unions in the West African country after the killing of two students, allegedly by the powerful Student and School Federation. Feski has long been suspected of involvement in organised crime and is accused of terrorising campuses in Abidjan, the country's biggest city. Joe Biden has arrived in Berlin for what will be his last visit to Germany as the US president. During his brief 24-hour stay in the German capital, he'll hold talks with leaders from France, Germany and the UK. They're expected to focus discussions on President Zelensky's victory plan for Ukraine and the conflict in the Middle East. A Texas bioscience company that specialises in attempting to revive long-extinct animal species says it's reconstructed a near-complete genome of the Tasmanian tiger, nearly 90 years after the last surviving marsupial died in an Australian zoo. Kat Wiener reports.
The scientists say they owe their breakthrough to the chance discovery of a long-forgotten skull mouldering in a Melbourne museum. The remains of the creature, also known as a thylacine, had been dumped in a bucket of ethanol more than a century ago and contain enough soft tissue for the scientists to extract the molecules crucial to reconstructing the extinct animal's genome. The dog-like thylacine, noted for its tiger-like stripes, once lived across the Australian continent. It was hunted to extinction by European colonisers. Colossal, the bioscience company involved, also wants to de-extinct the woolly mammoth and the dodo. Many scientists are sceptical of their claims.
BBC News.